not a question of if you want to have your own office. It's a question of how many offices do you want to have. And I remember looking over at Tom saying, we need to go do that.
Podcasting from WealthWave Studios in Johns Creek, Georgia, this is Leadership Now, the official vision and strategy podcast of WealthWave.
Hey, I'm just going to briefly just tell my personal story just real quick and tell you what I saw here and what I was thinking and basically just how we went from where we were to where we ended up a few years ago and, of course, today. But Andy brought something up which I thought was interesting. I remember I got involved in this business when I was watching a racquetball tournament. And I was an engineer at the time. I was working for Cincinnati Millicron. I was doing a lot of traveling, going to a lot of General Motors plants, and just on the road. I didn't really like it. I wasn't that good an engineer, but it was a job, and I was looking ahead. And I remember standing in the bullpen on the first floor up in Lebanon, Ohio, and I was looking out. And I remember standing up, and I remember looking at all the other people out there, and I was doing pretty good among those people. But then you realize up against the wall were all the people that supervised all these people, which was one of me. And then there was a second floor that was higher seniority, and there was a third floor, and then there was the front office, and we were a satellite building. It wasn't even the home office. And I remember thinking, just it was a fleeting thought. I said, how am I ever going to move up here? It was really something else. So anyway, I don't know what else I was going to do. I just kept working. And then I'm watching a racquetball tournament, and there's a lesson in this, okay? I was watching a racquetball. I was playing in it. I was watching the next match. And a friend of mine, who I'd known since I was 13 or 14, Linda Keller, came up to me. I'm watching the match, and she was dating a guy named Kip Keller at the time, and her name was Linda Martin. And she said, Kip would love to get you in his business, but he knows you're happy being an engineer. And I remember looking at her saying, I hate engineering. But I never told anybody that. And what's the lesson in that? You cannot assume anything. Most people are leading lives of quiet desperation. You just don't know. You don't know what they're thinking. You can't make assumptions about their career paths. You can't make assumptions about what they think their future is going to be. You can't make assumptions about what their finances are. You can't make any of those assumptions because you don't really know. Just like I don't really know what you're thinking right now. I know what you're thinking. Will that guy ever shut up? Is that what you're thinking? So besides that, right? You just don't know what anybody's thinking. And so you don't make assumptions about that. People have very pressing and real challenges and aspirations. And you just got to know that. And all you can do is present it. If she wouldn't have said something to me, then I might not be in this business today. And the second thing that happened is when I sat down with Kip, and why he didn't talk to me direct, I have no idea. All right, I knew he was in our business, but I had no idea why he didn't sit down with me direct. When he sat down with me, he didn't just talk to me about what he could do for me financially. He talked to me about building a business. I had no idea what he's even talking about financially. I didn't balance my checkbook. I didn't have a lot of money. Sounded like a good idea. I knew I needed to save some. I remember the one thing I remember about the presentation you saw today. I remember the rule of 72. That's a big deal, isn't it? Rule 72? Let me throw something out at you there. The rule 72, you'll either get it to work for you or it's going to work against you. One of the two things. You understand how it works and get it to work for you or it's going to work against you. That's a fact, all right? So I remember that. And then I remember saying, well, Kip, if this is so good, you have a couple thoughts, right? I said, if this is so good, what do you need me for? I know background. This is so good. What do you need me for? And he explained, the real estate example and that we have to get the word out. He basically said, he goes, are these good ideas? I lied and said, yeah, they're great. I didn't really understand them all. All right. And he goes, well, we need more people like that out there. I'm like, okay, that makes sense. All right. And what's the second thing you think that concerned me? How am I going to learn this? Right? How am I going to get trained? How am I going to learn this? And he said we had more than ample. We didn't have all the tools we have today. We have got unbelievable tools for training, from individual training, hands-on training, to training similar to this, to webinars, to videos. It's amazing. We've got more than enough training. And I said, well, I just don't think I can do it. That's what I said. I don't think I can do this. And his reply was priceless. Know what he said? He said, well, how do you know unless you try? I'm like, all right. Literally, that's how it went. I said, I'll try. You know what I found out? I liked it. I found out I liked it. Had no idea I liked it. And I ended up loving it. So anyway, that's how I got started. So I came here basically by myself. I always say, my daughter just started at Groupon. And she started with a couple of people, and they've already quit. All right? And she goes, I'm by myself. I said, no, you're not by yourself. You're always with me, myself, and I. Everybody's got three people with them, me, myself, and I. By myself, and I'm just going to throw this out, and I don't talk about money a whole lot, but literally I started here by myself, and 6.5 years later crossed $1 million in income. That's pretty good, right? That doesn't mean I'm a great guy. I am, by the way, but that doesn't mean I did it because I am a great guy, all right? That does not mean that, all right? How can somebody go working and working hard and not have a ton of success and then come here and work hard and have a lot of success? Why do you think that happens? Because of our system. Remember this. If you're going to walk away with a lot, and there's a lot to walk away with today, remember the system is the solution. I didn't make that up. That was AT&T's motto. The system is the solution. And that's what it is. The system is the solution. It's what allows an individual like me, all right, no background in this business, to go on to success. I talked to a guy named Marion in New Mexico. Marion, you're listening. One day I asked him, I said, I said, Marion, how long have you been? He was a doctor. He was a radiologist, head of the Radiological Society in the Southwest United States. And I said, what's exactly your background? And he told me how much money he was making reading x-rays, and he was a big shot. And ran an office with us with his son, making $100,000 a year. That's great, right? Smart guy, so you think a smart guy will make it, right? And then literally later that day, I talked to another guy, Jeff Wolfrey, and I said, Jeff, what'd you do for a living? He's out in L.A. And he goes, I was a Marine wrench. That means he was a mechanic in the Marines. Left the Marines, came with us, has a couple offices, and he's a multiple six-figure earner. How can two or three people with such disparate backgrounds go on and do well with us? Why is that? It's because of our system. The system is the solution. Follow our system. And so when I came here, everything boils down to this. If you want to take a couple notes, you can take this note. It comes down to vision, it comes down to your plans, and it comes down to your tools. Vision, your plan, and tools. And we will help you do all three of those. You've got a sample of all of that today. You didn't get a real in-depth sample, but when you sit down and you talk to our people, and if you've been with us a little while and you don't really realize all that's going on, dive into it. It's your vision. And let me talk about this for a second. Why would I quit my job, which is a seemingly good job? By the way, I had a ton of family support when I quit my job. It was unbelievable, the support. So my mother is Jersey Italian. You know what that means? Not good. Wonderful lady, but Jersey Italian. So I walk over to my dad or my parents' house. I'm sitting there eating. My mom is stirring the spaghetti or the spaghetti sauce with a wooden spoon. All right? Stirring it. She's at the stove. I'm looking over. My dad said, hey, I'm quitting my job. Okay? Oh, you going back to school? Nope. What are you going to do? I'm going to go into business with Kip. You want to hear her response? I wish I could reach in his shirt and rip his heart out. Why? Well, why? Because society's expectation is you go get a good job, right? You got that. You got some benefits. You got all that. And I'm like, no, I tried that. I didn't like it. So anyway, she throws the wooden spoon down the deal and walks out of the kitchen. We don't have a big kitchen. I didn't grow up in a big kitchen. You know, and walks out. I'm like, okay. So I'm looking at my father, and he was self-employed. I said, hey. You know, as we talk, I said, why didn't you tell me what corporate America was like? And his response was perfect and priceless. He says, some things you just got to find out for yourself. But the challenge was, I knew earlier, I just couldn't find a way out. I didn't know what else I was going to do. I wasn't trained to do anything else. And that's why I came here. So I came here, got involved in the business, was part-time, got involved, loved it, made a full-time commitment, and then it's like anything. Once you get rolling, you start realizing, you know something, there's more to life than this. You know, as my daughter's finding out, there's more to life than what she's doing at Groupon. All right? No, this is no bad dream. You with me on that? That's what happens, right? Same thing every day. And that's what just, that's the, probably the first thing. If you're going to walk away with something, I've got big dreams. My dreams are big enough and they're growing. Do you have big dreams? And is the vehicle you're in, whatever you're doing, if you're with another company, if you're in corporate America, wherever you're at, you've got dreams. Can that, whatever you're doing, hit those? Now, if you got small dreams, anything will do, right? But if you got some big dreams and big aspirations, like maybe being financially independent sooner than you thought you would be, maybe having a dream home, whatever it is, there's all kinds of things. Taking care of your family, giving to charity, starting a foundation. There's lots of things. We had a guy back in the 90s. He built a business fairly quickly with us. He resigned. I was shocked. His name is Bill Kemsley. I was shocked when he resigned. He was making a lot of money. He went into full-time missionary work. Figured he made it. Guys, was a Jew income. That was his dream. You know, for that. Whatever it is, you've got something that drives you, right? There's something that if you sat down and money was no object and something that you really wanted to craft your life, you can craft your life any way you want to be here, there is something you've got that'll drive you. And then sit down with your person that invited you here, craft a business plan that you can do that. Is that exciting? I think that's the greatest message ever, I think, that you're able to do that. And by the way, your dreams will evolve over time. And I talk to people from the industry all the time out there. This is utopia over here. We have utopia compared to everything else out there. There isn't anything we can't do for somebody for the most part. There's no geographic limitations. You can write your own contract, write your own income. It's crazy good here. And then we've got all these tools. Bob, you saw a lot of tools here today, right? A lot of support. You know what's nice about that? You didn't have to develop any of it. We've got, I don't know, 4,000, 5,000, 6,000, 7,000 reps on our team. I don't even know. And the company handles the payroll for that. I don't have to handle the payroll for any of that. I don't have to handle the licensing for any of that. Know what I have to do? You ready? It's tough. By the way, it is tough. I got to be a good example. Right? I got to be a good example. So anyway, exciting times in the business. If you think, I got one last thing and I'm going to close with this. So I came here, struggled at first, got it rolling. By the way, you're going to struggle. If you're not struggling, you're going to struggle at some point at first. It's like learning anything new. It's just like riding a bike. Do you just hop on a bike and ride it? Or what do? You crash. I remember to this day running into a fire hydrant. It was a long time ago. I ran into a fire hydrant hard. All right, you're going to crash. That's the way it is. And then you just get back up and you try it again. You'll probably crash again. You fall. Whatever it is, doesn't matter. You'll figure it out. So I went to a meeting in 1993. And there's going to be some people this will resonate with here, okay? Went to a meeting in 1993. I'd, you know, been here, I don't know, 8 months. And somebody explained our business system and held up a map of the United States. And they said several things. They said all roads lead to the building of a team and the building of your assets under management. I said, okay. And then he said, I'm going to give you a quick clue why. Because both of those pay residual income, all right? In other words, you build that. You build your assets under management. You build your team. You get paid on that. Once you do it and you do it right, you keep getting paid on that. There's nothing not to like about that. Wish I had more time to go in. Nothing not to like about that. And then said, well, we're structured identical to the real estate business. And I remember this and talked about the 270 million population and there's all this money floating around and everything. I'm like, okay. I got it. Sounds good, right? But then he held up a map of the United States. Literally a map of the United States. All the states were in different colors. And he asked this question, or this statement, I should say. It's not a question of if you want to have your own office. It's a question of how many offices do you want to have. And I remember looking over at Tom saying, we need to go do that. And that's the question I'm asking you. So I don't think it's a question if you want to have your own office. I didn't have any offices. At that time when I was asked that question, you know, that statement was made, I was working off the end of somebody's desk. I didn't even have my own office. I didn't have my own desk. Did not have that. But my thinking changed. And somebody in here, I hope that resonates with, because it's a big market and it's an underserved market and there's a lot to do out there. So let's go knock it out, huh? All right. Thank you.
Thanks for listening to Leadership Now, the official podcast of WealthWave. If you like our show and you want to know more, check out wealthwave.com/podcast, or you can leave us a review on iTunes. Join us each week as we talk about the topics you'll need to help you grow as an entrepreneur and succeed in the financial business with WealthWave.